Acts chapter 2, the first 21 verses. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native languages? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Dear friends of God, Pentecost is a radical act of communication. We get caught up in the loud wind. We get caught up in the tongues of fire. We get caught up in the amazement and the bewilderment and the gathering of the crowds, and they're all wondering what's going on. And sometimes the Pentecost story is so spectacular, we get kind of confused as to what to do about this or what to do with it. And yet, the miracle of Pentecost is about communication, not confusion. The disciples didn't speak gibberish. They didn't speak in ecstatic utterances. They didn't speak in the language of angels. They spoke known languages, understandable to diverse listeners. Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, and all the rest of those ites and people from all over the place, we hear them speaking in our own tongues. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit enabled the disciples to speak to those who were from all over the world. They were all gathered because it was a feast. It was the Feast of Pentecost. It was a Feast of First Fruits, where you bring your first fruits of the harvest to God and thank Him for all the abundance that they're about to receive. And they heard the message. They got the message. They heard the wonders of God in their own language. That was the miracle, the communication. Pentecost tells us that Jesus wants to be known. And He wants to be known everywhere. He wants to be known all over the world. He wants to reach every heart in its own language. And Jesus started a mission that continues to this day. Even now, we see this happening when the gospel is spoken in different languages here that are present here. There are, in this building, people who came to faith when the gospel was spoken to them in their own language, using a Bible in their own language. And around the world, there are churches speaking every imaginable language, praising God, telling the gospel story, telling the wonders of God In the language, people understand. And there's translators going from Wycliffe going into different places for every tiny little tribal language and tongue, and they're getting closer to getting them all the dialects. And mass communication through different media, internet, TV, radio, send the word out in many languages on signals to the ends of the earth. And we rightly see this as the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, spreading it out all over the world. And today we support Resonate Global Mission as it spreads the gospel throughout the whole world. And yet this isn't something that's just out there for the whole world. And yeah, we're thinking globally. We also act locally. It's also a local thing. It's something that affects us here in Kitchener-Waterloo. Because here in KW, we're living among people who, for some reason, don't know the story or can't hear the story or haven't heard the story of God's wonders. Why don't they know? How come they haven't heard it in a way they can understand what's going on? Well, maybe people have slowly started speaking a different language when it comes to faith. As Reverend Harold Percy, the Anglican rector from Toronto, put it, our challenge is that our culture, that the culture of our congregations have been preparing to minister in, no longer exists. Our congregations are essentially Christendom congregations born in an age that assumed they would be ministering in a Christian culture, in neighborhoods populated by Christian people who would naturally associate with the church. There was no need to think about how to connect with these people because the culture ensured that the connection was already in place. In this cultural setting, the job of the church was to provide the neighborhood with opportunities to worship, religiously oriented rites of passage, and pastoral care. It was simply assumed that the people would look to the church for these services because people understood and accepted the message of the church, and the church was an important part of their lives. But things have changed. And I think we understand that. We aren't in the 50s anymore. We aren't even in the 80s anymore. We're not speaking the same language as we once did in our culture. Our neighbors are speaking a different language. And I've been learning, just as people speak different physical languages, like tribal languages, national languages, there's also people today speak different languages of culture and experience and worldview and skepticism and hope and despair. And so we get some people who speak a scientific rational language, putting a priority on evidence and logic. We have two universities, major Canadian universities in our area, especially one that focuses on so much on science and technology and engineering and math. And that's a language that's spoken in this area, science, rationality. And some people speak emotional or experiential language, putting a priority on connecting through feelings and personal stories. And things are true if they're true in lived experience. And people who refer to things such as my truth are people who speak that language. And there are some people who are so immersed in social media and imagery and short-form content that they practically speak a visual digital language. If it's not intuitive, I don't know what it's saying. And there are others who speak a secular, non-religious language. They're unfamiliar with traditional Christian terms or concepts. And I spoke to someone the other day who practices gratitude. What a wonderful thing to practice gratitude. And it's like, yeah, I'm just grateful. He didn't identify to whom he was grateful. He just was grateful. Another person I talked to said that she was thankful to the universe. And you go, the universe, huh? They're spiritual but not religious. They don't identify a personal being at the center of the universe. And then there's the justice activism language for those who are passionate about social change and addressing things such as gender equality and racial harmony and environmental justice and truth and reconciliation. And they're impatient with thought patterns that have kept things the way they are. And so when you come as a Christian and you say, you know, believe in Jesus, they say, that's a dominant religion and, you know, this is unjust. And it's like, where are you coming from? You're speaking a different language. And then still others speak an existential meaning-seeking language, grappling with purpose and meaning in a complex world. I once had conversations with a young woman who was getting more involved in ancient pagan rituals, trying to be more connected with the rhythms of the earth. And so she spoke about practicing Yule and all these pagan concepts. And I recently spoke to someone who was interested in knowing more about worldviews and how that fits with his view of the world and what does Christianity have to offer in worldview. You know, they're trying to find they're using existential language. Where's my purpose? And I'm also learning that in our culture, people have been busy deconstructing their faith. Yet they still are speaking the language of justice and racial harmony. They're tired of hypocrisy and lots of talk. They want to do things that change the world and do the planet some good. There's a distrust of authority and institutions. And yet people look for organic community, authentic community. They want spirituality, not the institutional church. Many of them have not given up on Jesus. There's something about Jesus that still draws people in. And they just want all the other stuff to fall away. So how do we, empowered by the same Spirit, translate the eternal truth of the gospel with these modern languages so that people say, are not all these who are speaking Christians? And how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? How is the Spirit moving us to act and proclaim in ways that people who come along say, I'm hearing about what Jesus is, who Jesus is, in ways that make sense to me? Missional leaders Eric Swanson and Rick Russo point to this as a key challenge for our day. They say, all over the world, we meet pastors and Christian leaders who almost simultaneously have come to the conclusion that unless their church is engaged with the conversation, rhythms, needs, and dreams of their communities, it's not the church that Jesus wants them to be. And so when we conceive of ourselves as a church in KW, not just being in KW, but for KW, when we think of ourselves as part of the mission of God here and now locally, when we start asking ourselves, what would good news be for the people I know in KW? When we start engaging the community through love, through service, through blessing, then we are going to be used by the Spirit to speak the language of our community. Somehow, the wonders of God will be declared by the likes of you and me here in your neighborhood. Speaking the language of our time means we emphasize the love of God, the person of Jesus, the transformative power of the Holy Spirit, and that ever-growing and ever-revealing kingdom of God that turns things upside down and subverts things. The disciples of the day of Pentecost don't speak about new rules. They don't say, you got to do this now. They speak about a new relationship. It's Jesus, a new leader, and he leads us. We have something to offer to those who are navigating mental health and career stress and relationships and social issues and those who say, you know, is this all there is? The disciples didn't speak good news as something far away and something you enjoy after you die. This new life is not just about the afterlife, but it's abundant life now. And it answers the questions that whatever language people are speaking, they're asking those questions. So on the day of Pentecost, the church moved from the building into the streets. The church moved from a scared, huddled group hiding inside a building to the public square. Walls of division came down and the glories of God were heard. Pentecost wasn't about the disciples shouting louder, making people feel more ashamed, making people feel guilty. It was about the listeners hearing clearly the wonders of God and the grace of God. And the ongoing mission of Pentecost is to be bridge builders, translators of grace, making the ancient story vibrantly relevant for today. So ask the Spirit to empower you to be a communicator of the good news in your own networks and friendships and families and neighborhoods, using the language that your friends and families and colleagues can understand. The Spirit continues to do those miracles of communication through us. In our culture that has so rapidly become post-Christian, the Spirit still surprises us, using us despite ourselves, miraculously empowering us to tell the wonders of God in ways in which people respond with joy. I hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that you are a God who speaks in language that we understand. And Lord, pray that you would help us by the power of your Holy Spirit speak to the people around us. Speak in ways that give life. Speak in ways that give hope. Speak in ways that draw out love and community and peace. Lord, help us to be your people on the ground here in KW in this great, grand, bold mission that you have started on the day of Pentecost. In Jesus' name, amen.